to the Jamie Dawn Show. Today is Monday, August 5th, 2024. Mercury is retrograde. I have to throw that in there because I want to hear some of your stories. But before I do, before we jump in too far, welcome, welcome. And thank you, Jay, for producing and pulling all the bells and whistles behind the scenes. I so appreciate you. And of course, I have my brother from another mother here today with me. Oliver and I are going to play. And before I do any more of that, so a few more announcements. Come find me over at 1-2-Listen. Oliver's at 1-2-Listen. Jay's at 1-2-Listen. We love our 1-2 family. I'm so happy that you guys are part of it. I'm going to multitask today since Oliver is guesting with me. It gives me a little more spaciousness to be able to look at the chat room. If you would like a reading, I might be able to entice Oliver to offer something, he and I together, second half of the show. And who knows? I'm telling you, I have no idea what today is going to hold. It's a great mystery today. That'll be fun. But luckily, Oliver's really good at playing in the great mystery with me. So we're going to just go for it. But as you know, I also like to get us grounded and into our heart space as we open. So for just a moment, with one breath in through the heart and down through our feet, that we can connect to our breath and our body. For however long you are with me today, there's nowhere to go and nothing to do. Just right here and right now. And really placing our attention at the root, feeling Mother Earth as she grounds us and holds us with her love and her gravity. And feeling all that love as it runs from root all the way up into our heart. And welcoming that heart center to open, knowing it's safe, stable within ourselves. Because each and every one of us has a right to be here. And we are lovable. We have value because we have breath. And we have all of that to share with each other. So welcome. Hi, Oliver. Welcome to the show.
Hi, sweetheart. Oh, so fun. It's so funny because I didn't even know it was Mercury retrograde today. So well, that kind of makes sense because I'm traveling soon.
Exactly. You always travel on a Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, I do.
Hey, where are you heading? So do a little update on what's happening with you. I want to update on me. But first, I have a piece of fish in the oven that I need to make sure isn't burning. So I'm going to go check that. But if you don't mind.
That was very random. Out of the blue on the air. Oh, by the way, yeah. I have a fish in the oven I have to go get.
Well, I put it in. It was supposed to be done before the show started. But, you know, whatever.
That's hilarious. You know what they say that guests, after 3 days, guests, they start smelling like fish.
Oh, that's what my dad always says about friends and family. He's like, after 3 days, you're like fish. Bye-bye. So visits are never more than 3 days with my parents.
All right, go get the fish, and I can update people on what's going on.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? It's just
it is.
Okay. Well, for very practical reasons, I need to be in Toronto right now. So I am wrapping up my place in PB, which I love. I'm going to miss it, but I'm going to be back. So I'm leaving Mexico. I'm just going back to wrap things up here at the end of the month and see some friends. And then I'll be back in Toronto, and I'm going to Denmark to get my little chihuahua. And so those things are happening. I just went through a scare with my right eye, which some of you know. I had a detached retinal. As out of the blue it came, but thank God here in Toronto, the clinic I went to at the hospital is one of the best in the world, apparently. And they fixed my eye. I can tell you, it was painful, very painful. And I don't wish upon my worst enemy needles in the eye, I can tell you that. The good news is they saved my sight, and still nearsighted. I can't see. I'm blind as a bat. I'm so nearsighted on my right eye. But
Were you before? Were you nearsighted there before the detached retina?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I did all so they did all these laser on my eyes. I thought, oh, maybe my nearsightedness will go away. No, I'm still
No.
nearsighted. And on top of that, because of the procedure, now I have all these floaters, and when I read text, when I put my glasses on and read text, it's like being in the fun house at a fair with the mirrors, So it looks very funny.
Awful.
But on the other hand, I can close my left eye and the whole world looks pretty because I can't see it.
Just
It's
sorting
blurry.
through
It's like a
that.
haze. It's like a Disney movie. It's got this haze over it.
Yeah, I know, but that's just awful. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did not, no pun intended, but I did not see that one coming.
That's like the old Dionne Warwick psychic line that went out of business. It was like they did not foresee it coming.
Ah, exactly. That's hilarious. No, and like this guy in the airplane, he's all alone, and he said, "Why am I alone? Oh, this plane was full of psychic, but they're at the psychic convention right now." Anyway,
We have to have some
okay.
levity. We have to have
So
levity in our business.
I know, right? So the crazy thing is that because it literally almost happened from one day to the other. So when I came to Toronto, I started talking to this incredible guy whose name is Shane, and we became friends, just friends. But we really hit it off. I mean, seriously, we hit it off, and we can. He was here last night. We yakked until 4 in the morning, which is like you and I basically when
Oh,
we are
yeah.
together. Yeah, so you know the feeling. But anyway, so I told him about my eye because that had just happened, and he looked at me. You got to go to the emergency room right now because I had it, and you can go blind. I was like, oh, come on, are you really being a little dramatic here? So when he left, I looked it up, and he was right. You have to catch it really early, or you can go completely blind. So he called me every day. I said, "Have you been to the emergency room? Have you been to the emergency room?" And then finally, I thought, "Okay, I can't let him down anymore." So I went. But thank God I did. So I
Yeah.
was crying. So I was telling him yesterday, my belief in angels. One of the beliefs in angels is that they don't always come with wings. Sometimes they just pop up in your life. People pop up in your life at the right time, and they act like angels, and they get you on the right track.
I totally agree. I love that you're mentioning the angels because I've been working with them quite a bit. I was called several months ago to start working with them more actively. It's not that I don't call on them in my meditations and all that, but to really dedicate some time to specific angels and working with them. And it's actually been so refreshing because it's been a little while since I dedicated that kind of time.
Oh,
So,
nice. That's very
yeah.
nice. Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. I haven't worked a whole lot with angels, mostly because, and I'm going to say this on the air, everybody knows it, because of the course I did in Hawaii with Doreen Virtue.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a letdown. So I haven't really worked
Well, you don't
a
punish the
lot.
angels for that.
No. But
I'm
you know when
joking.
you have an
I know.
experience, it kind of taints it a little bit.
Of course.
And but I know I do call upon them, but I don't work with them a lot, a whole lot. But I love the idea, and I think it's a great meditation tool, as you just said. You use them for meditation, right?
Yeah.
Not that I would call angels a tool. Hey, Archangel Michael, your tool. I'm just kidding. Sorry, I'm already on my way to hell. But all joking aside, it's a fascinating element to work with, I would say instead.
Right. Agreed. Well, and I can honestly tell you, I have not been disappointed when I work with them and I've asked for help or confirmations or communications or whatever. They've never failed. I mean, I am getting something. I may not always like what I get, but I did
Well,
get it.
that's often the way it is when you ask for something,
Well, that was
right?
that's been my experience with angels is that they don't interfere. So they require us to ask so that,
Well, that's
we
it. Well, that's
help them.
exactly.
Yeah. So,
This is so funny. Remember my dear friend Dan? You know Dan.
Oh,
Anyway,
yes.
so years ago, before we met Sam, we were staying in his apartment, and he was going through a rough time because there was a break-in in his apartment and everything else, right? And so he just sort of like, at one point, I can't remember what it was we were really talking about, but one thing I said I said to him, you want your angels to help you, but look at your life. You come home from work, you order Swiss Chalet, which is a chicken place here in Toronto, and you watch your shows. That's it. I said, your angels right now are sitting behind you and they're asleep. They're like snoring because you're not giving them anything to do.
Yeah. Yep.
You couldn't stop
That's so
laughing.
true.
Yeah,
It
they're
is
like,
so true.
oh, do we have to work? No, okay, let me just dust off these wings here,
Well, we talk about how difficult this human experience is, but luckily there are helpers available to us if we ask. And the angels, our ancestors, all of, they're waiting and ready. I remember, and you met Zabamfu at mystery
Yes, she was
school.
amazing. I loved
Oh,
her.
what a beautiful woman she was. And she crossed over, what, 5, 6 years ago now. But anyways,
Yeah.
she would always talk about the ancestors. She's from the Dogari tribe in South Af in West Africa. And she would say, they grew up, and her belief in the village was your ancestors are sitting there waiting for you to demand their help. And so she
Yeah.
would, I mean, she would talk about that all the time. Of like, no, you sit there and you say, hey, ancestors, show up. You want something to do? I need your help.
It's true, though. I remember when I first started this journey and I was working with the Danish spiritual teacher, Liselotte Erlingsdatter. And she was telling me about my personal guide, and apparently it's a Chinese girl, and I meet her in a Chinese garden and all that. And she said, this is what you do, and you have to be firm. First time you call her name, she will hear you. Second time, she will be on her way. And the third time, she will be there, but you have to be firm.
I love
Well, I better get my kink out here, my dominant side.
it. Yeah, there you go. That's why not?
Sorry, I don't know. Why do we always end up in these weird conversations?
Hey, I still laugh at one of the podcasts that Tatiana and I did, one of our first ones, and we were talking about attachment styles and how we were raised and all that. And I was saying how I was raised in an authoritarian environment and very religious, as you know, and listeners, most of them know that too. And one of the songs that would be playing in church or in school, because I went to a Christian school until I was 18, was Trust and Obey. And the lyric for the chorus was Trust and Obey, for there's no other way but to be happy in Jesus, but trust and obey. And Tatiana, without skipping a beat, said, wow, I didn't realize God was into S&M.
That's funny.
Like, yeah, that's my daughter. That's fantastic.
That's a lot. That is
It was
hilarious, actually.
hysterical. Talk about throwing some levity into
I know. On that note, this just reminded me of something that I want to share. So years ago, when I was dating my ex, Colin, and he had an ex-wife, Stacy, very nice lady. And but the song, I'm every woman.
Oh,
Do,
yeah.
do. Yeah. She thought. She was singing, "Climb every woman." She would literally be on the dance floor singing, "Climb every woman."
Okay then.
I like.
Well, I admit there are some song lyrics out there that I still get screwed up because I think it says one thing when it does, because you hear one thing and it's not really what it is. But there's a song by Frankie Valens, My Eyes Adore You. And
Okay. Okay.
I thought it was My Eyes of Georgia.
Well, I literally I, just a couple of weeks ago, I didn't have an eye that could adore anything. So
Yeah, but I always love,
that's hilarious, actually.
yeah.
My eyes adore you. It is so
Did
funny because I listen sometimes to, as like growing up in Europe, we had these German bands, and there was one band called Modern Talking, and they were very popular in the 80s. They had a song out called "You're My Heart, You're My Soul," but I'm telling you, they're lyrics, because the English apparently was so bad, it made absolutely no sense. I said, you can't say that in English.
Like the cow is on the ice?
Well, you can say that has a meaning.
I
I never understood the song "Take on Me." Take on me, take on me.
don't.
It was like, do you take on a person? Well, I guess you
Yeah, but
do.
that was some great hair and synthesizer going on there. I'm telling you, MTV at its best.
I saw them at the very first concert in Copenhagen, and then I saw them at their farewell concert in Barcelona. Isn't
Oh, cool.
that amazing?
Hey, I tell you what, since we're bobbing and weaving here on the show today,
But you knew that that was going to happen.
Yeah. How do you feel about pulling a card for the week for the audience? I'm going to pull one and gives us something to maybe focus on. I like to do that, meditate on, see what's up for us. Lately, the cards have been giving me a lot of wands. So,
Creativity is coming.
yeah. So I'm,
Okay, let's.
well, now here we are, like I mentioned, the whole Mercury retrograde thing, which I've had a few little Mercury retrograde moments where, like I was sending a, I'm facilitating a group online, and we use Google for the group to communicate for emails and stuff. Well, I sent their new practice this week. I sent it this morning in the Google group and it never posted. I sent it like twice. So we'll see if they, like maybe tonight or tomorrow they'll get it again. But anyways, I
In
had to email them
all
individually.
honesty, that could just be Google.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But I get
I have the whole Google
flaming
system, and
Mercury.
I'm telling you, she's not very smart. The
No,
Google
I
Assistant.
know.
I keep going, "Hey Google," it's not even. At least Siri has Siri, and oh, my phone actually ended acted to, "Hey Google." That's hilarious because I got a Google phone. At least you got Siri and what's the other one, Alexa, but no, Google's just
Remember
way.
Miss Cortana? You had
But that
Cortana.
was Windows. That was Windows.
Yeah, Cortana.
Cortana. But then Google came along. Now we really can't be bothered. It's just going to be Google Assistant. So like, okay. But I will literally sit there and say, "Hey Google, can you play my favorite playlist? Oliver, chill out music." Yes, playing you heavy metal from the 80s. I'm like, what?
It was channeling me. She thought you were me.
I actually said to her one point, I said, "You know what? You're dumb and you're a bitch. Sorry. Pardon me." And she came back to me,
Alexa that
and
too.
she
I know
came back,
Siri.
but she came back to me very passive aggressively and said, "Just because I'm artificial intelligence, I still have feelings."
Artificial intelligence does not have feelings.
I
Not
know. Maybe
everybody
she
wants
may
to
not have
say.
said feelings. She may have said, "I still deserve respect." I think that was that what it was, actually.
Okay.
But she was
Well,
very passive aggressive with me.
I am shuffling my cards.
So I thought maybe she was Anglo-Saxon. I couldn't decide. All right, I'm doing a card two for the week.
Okay. Ooh, all right. All right. This will be interesting. This is the Five of Swords. Ooh, a lot of people do not like swords because it's like,
I do.
oh.
I do.
But I like swords. I mean, because really the swords for me, it's all about training the mind and not
Exactly. It's
letting
a
people.
mental energy. It's mental
Exactly.
energy. And the problem is, if you, especially the bad swords, if you stay in that mind frame, it could manifest.
That's right. Because what we focus on, that's where our
Expense.
energy is going to flow. Yep. Oh, there's a spider crawling across my
I
desk.
like
Have
spiders.
you
I
ever
like.
seen me jump so fast?
No, because I can't quite see you right now. Maybe with my third eye. You
Oh,
still look
well.
gorgeous, though.
Why, thank you. Yeah, that was a fast-moving one. Thank goodness it didn't crawl across my lap. That would have really made me scream.
Ooh, so you got Five of Swords.
I did. Five of Swords. This is all about looking at our conflicts and disagreements, picking our battles. There may be a sense of, if we're mixing it up this week, I have a feeling because with Mercury retrograde, it does cause some misunderstandings and miscommunications. Kind of like listening to lyrics of a song and you think it's one thing when really it's another. That's
Huh?
very Mercury retrograde. And, again, it can cause misunderstandings where it's like, no, I said, let's go to the store. And you thought I said, I want to beat your ass, I mean,
Yeah,
whatever. So,
exactly.
yeah, so this Five of Swords is a reminder to really pick and choose our battles. And that even though we might be tempted to fight every conflict just to get our way or prove to be right, then we could also harm our good relationships. And so really pick and choose the battle and realize that everybody is going through their own individual experiences and that their interpretation and their reaction is usually an indication of what's happening for them, not
Yeah.
you. So keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, try not to also, I think the Five of Swords is another good reminder that if you do get into a conflict, that it's better to be happy than right. And if you need to ask forgiveness, then do so. Don't be too proud to do that. Do some self-forgiveness and then, forgive the other person, forgive yourself, and and make sure that you're able to communicate from a place that that you feel the relationship is important for holding on to.
And I also remember it's the number five in the minor arcana. Nothing is set in stone. It can go
Right.
either way, all depending on where you focus.
That's right.
That's what the fives they do. They put you there in the middle because now you have a choice. Do you want to go left? Do you want to go right?
Yep. Yeah.
You know? But the interesting thing is, so I want to piggyback on that one with you. Is that okay?
Please, that'd be great.
Yeah. I'm not heavy these days. I lost weight. So actually I'm
I
gaining
can
weight
look
now
pretty
again,
happy.
so it's good, it's good. But people are like, you look so skinny, Oliver. I said, oh my God, can I help that I'm just skinny? Okay. But anyway, I picked the sun for the week.
Ooh, I love it.
So let me, so the way I'm looking at this with your five of swords is that once you end up in the right space with your five of swords, if you focus on, let's say, the positive one, I believe this week will present you with the right partners meeting each other, the right opportunities meeting each other, or the right situation meeting each other. So, but it's important that you listen to what Jamie said about the five of swords, and then you can, and then sort of sort that out, and then you can have the sun.
Yeah. I love the sun because it is the most positive card in the deck, and it's a good reminder that, I've been talking to a lot of people lately about feeling disconnected, and you and I have talked about that, and how often we as human beings think we're disconnected from source or sun. Sun is our source of life, right? And really, the sun never stops shining. It's us that think we're again, it's a thinking thing. We think we're disconnected, but in essence, how can we disconnect from what we are? We're life itself.
Exactly. Wow.
So we're always
Yeah.
connected. But I love that. And the sun, every time I meditate on the sun, I think too about how it does give me inspiration and hope and purposefulness and all those th positive things that I need in order to feel like I can be of better service to others,
Yeah, exactly. No, actually, yeah.
So.
I do love the sun too. I think that's a great card, and it's and in this deck it's actually really beautiful. I like it. It looks like Julie Andrews in the Alps, you know, going, the hills are alive
I
with
have to say.
sound of muse. Why do I keep
That's
singing when I'm on your
lovely.
show?
Well, I bring out the song in
Because
you.
it's not like I can sing.
Well, I was in a singing competition years ago, and one of the girls actually sang that song. And I remember watching her and listening to her, and because she was over enunciating the lyrics, right? It was "The hills are alive with the sound of music." I was like, "Music, okay."
Oh, remember the song I used to, the dance song I used to sing for you? Even if the moon
Yes.
decides to shine now.
It's just fun.
That was the
So
one we danced to, one of the songs we danced to with the colorful headphones on.
we have danced to many songs with colorful
That's
headphones
true. That's absolutely true. No wonder people look at us and go, are they normal? Normal is so boring.
There's no such thing as normal. I don't know why people keep referencing, I just want to be normal. Don't be normal, be yourself. Who the fuck cares about normal? What
Normal
is
is such a
normal? It's
normal is
relative.
such a normal is normal is such a weird thing. See, I have so I have a thing word so I have a thing with the word normal, and I have a thing with the word expert. There's just two words that are just like, I don't know what they mean.
Yeah. I don't either.
I mean, you can explain it away, but
Well, we
again, you
can
know,
Webster dictionary it or whatever,
yeah, you can always do that. But if you put it into practice, are they actually really valuable words? It's so funny because Shane, I was talking about in Danish, if there's a yesterday, if there, so my name is Svensson, as you know, but it's spelled with a D in the middle, but the D is silent. So I said to him, if you encounter a word in Danish and the D is in the middle, you don't pronounce it. And he said, why do they have it then there? Why, how do I know? To make it difficult so people don't want to learn Danish? I don't know.
Well, I can say the first time I went to Sweden and I saw like words like Vasagatan, and there was names of these roads that had like 15 letters in them, and they were all different symbols. And so I was just like, who in the world, why would you have so many letters for to say hi?
That's hilarious, yeah. But remember, you were the one when I told you the thing about Danish who said, "Oh, I'm Anish."
Right, because the D is silent.
Yeah, but only if it's in the middle of the word.
Yeah, well, it's too much fun to pick on
And
you
if
now.
it's at the end
You're
of a
from.
word, it's very soft. It's like blah.
Yeah, you're from Enmark. You're
I'm
Anish
from
from Enmark.
Enmark, I'm Anish.
Yes.
And I eat rødgrød.
I just want some gammeldansk.
Yes, that I will have one day, but I don't have it.
Didn't you say your grandmother drank that like every morning and lived to be like?
No, it was my aunt.
Oh, your
She
aunt.
lived until she was like 102 or something like that. She drank every night a bottle of Aquavit Schnapps. So 47% alcohol. So I think it is, or something like that. Oh, she was really well preserved.
Clearly. But you know what? It lends itself, it is a more sobering moment here, but it lends itself to that age-old question. We talk, philosophize about this all the time. You can live your best life. You eat healthy, you don't do this, you don't do that, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly you pass away at an early age. Or then you have somebody who eats like shit, doesn't exercise, doesn't take care of themselves, blah, 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 and they live to be 100 and something. It goes back to like, you just don't know when it's your time. So I think that's another reason why when people are like, I just want to be normal. No, be you. Do what works for you. Because what
Yeah.
works for me isn't going to work for you. You know?
Yeah. Be you because everybody else is taken.
That's right.
Yeah. And by the way, none of my business was people they fear think of me.
Yeah, exactly.
So those are good things to learn to live by.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It also helps not take things so personally, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly. Be yourself. Everybody's taken. Everybody else is taken. And it's none of my business what people they think of me.
I have a sort of, well, an interesting question because it's up for a lot of people and it has
Yeah.
to do with relationships and things
Do you
like
want
that.
to do I need to get my cards?
If you want to, you can. Sure.
So am I giving you a reading
No,
on
you're
the
not
air?
getting a reading. No.
And you're like, no, I don't want people to know that much. I'll call you afterwards, Oliver.
No. It's a relationship question, though, that keeps coming up and
Okay.
talking about it, because I think it's important. Mercury retrograde time, it happens 3 to 4 times a year, usually brings things from the past, and it often stirs up things with relationships because we get exes coming back from the past, topics that maybe we've been ruminating on but didn't have the courage at the time to talk about it. Or maybe there was a decision that needed to be made and we just kept putting it off for whatever reason. So this lends itself to the when is the right time to address these certain situations. So in other words, let's say you're with somebody and you've been dating for a while and they don't move it forward. When do you call it?
They don't move it forward.
Or you don't. You want to move it forward, they don't.
Okay. First of all, I want to say that if it's an ex, I hope they don't come back because there's a reason why they've been filed under the ex files. Anyway, let me just see. That's an interesting question. So you want to move it forward, but your partner doesn't want to move it forward. Well, I mean, it's a big question, Jamie, because you would have to look at the individual and see. I mean, it probably has to do with the life they've lived and disappointments. Maybe they're just not interested. Maybe they're just happy exactly where they are and they don't need to do more than that, right? Or maybe they're not very. They don't have any aspirations or. And where they are at, that's just perfectly fine with them. Or, as I said, they may have a lot of fear of moving things forward because they've been disappointed in the past. I think the person who wants to move it forward has probably maybe a little bit more courage, I would say, in the sense of they probably wouldn't let their past dictate their present. And also seeing the opportunity that here two lovely people are together, we could actually go even further if we decided to move it forward. But then it could also just be ends up in a place, you know, where you end up on two different roads, and then maybe you're gonna have to have a whole different conversation talking about is it time to call it quits so we both can be with the people we're meant to be with. This was a good ride. We did a good job. We gave it a good.
College try.
Yeah, we gave it a good try, and we were together 3, 4 years. But I have come to a place in my life where I want something different. I want to move it forward. You're perfectly happy where you're at, and maybe that just means that we've grown apart. And there's nothing wrong with all of that. There really isn't. I think it take then it takes courage to have the conversation of saying, I think we should move on. Because then probably we get the fear of abandonment issues, and we like being in a relationship, and sometimes we think we can't do better, or we're stubborn, and I don't know. There's so many different reasons why. It depends on the individual again, right? So, but I think if it's important enough for somebody to move a relationship forward and they can't because the other person is not willing, I think it's time for a conversation. That's what I would say.
See, and again, I know it's a loaded question because it points us back to everybody's different. Everybody has their own, what can I really accept in a relationship? How long do I wait? You'll know. I think at the end of the day, for all of my significant relationships, when there was a transition point, I knew it. I could feel it inside of me. I would have people go, why haven't you done this yet? And it's like, it's not time yet. I'll know when it's time. And
Oh,
it's
my.
so weird. Like, I shouldn't say weird. It's one of those surreal moments where I have been in certain areas, like physically in a particular area and with somebody and known like very clearly this would be the last time that I would see this person in this place.
Wow. Well, see, I have been a witness to your foreseeable that your that what you've seen there, because I've been a witness to a lot, but I've also been a witness too, because we know each other so well, right? So I've been with you on some of these journeys, and I can vow for the fact that you've been so right, and it was almost to the date. Yeah, almost to the date.
I mean, it's just one of those weird, I shouldn't say weird. You think about it, this is what you and I do for work, as well as it's who we are. It's this ingrained thing in us that when we're tuned in to that field of information, the field of infinite possibilities, that knowing drops in, and it's not like it's an absolute, you don't have a choice, but that's the way it feels. Like I know that this is the end, or I know that something's going to change, or I just know. And it's like you surrender to it,
Yeah.
you know? So.
I mean, it's so interesting because I have literally sort of given up on dating, and still I'm still trying, right? But I came to a point where I'm like, no, you know what? I've tried so many times, and it keeps just kind of falling apart. And that's when people say, "Oh, that's when you're gonna meet the one." I'm like, yeah. I love right now having somebody I'm getting to know out west, and that's nice. It's a long distance thing, but and obviously we haven't seen each other in a long time. But we communicate every day, and make and keep it really sort of fresh. And but it's nothing at the moment. But I really love just having my chihuahua. That's my relationship.
Well, I mean, okay, so you're sort of in the dating world. I mean, you're single, technically. Any advice you would give people who are looking for a relationship right now?
Well, I mean, ask yourself, how ready are you? I mean, I think it comes down to that. I mean, we like I you and I we usually joke that Disney screwed us up, right? But what it is really, I mean, I think sometimes we're more in love with the idea of having a relationship. It's like this fantasy, or it's not, or maybe it's cultural, maybe it's social, maybe it's like, oh, you have to be married before you're 25 or something to that degree, right? And and then when that doesn't work out, we always strive for that companion. And I was too, don't get me wrong. I just ended up in a place where, like, oh, maybe I should start. Maybe I should start to learn to really enjoy being with me first. And I think what it comes down to, what people who are looking for a relationship, be very clear on what it is that you want, but be very honest with yourself. Do critical thinking on yourself. Look yourself in the mirror. Am I really somebody that I would date if I was a stranger or somebody I met? Do I have these qualities that I can bring to the table? Would I look at me from the outside and go, oh my God, yes, that is really a quality person and I want to be with that person?
Well, you know what? That is great advice. And on the flip side of that too, I've talked with many people who are like, I have so much to give and I can't find a person to date. I can't find somebody that I would want a couple with.
Well,
And then they
maybe they
start
should give it to
criticizing.
themselves.
Well, they start criticizing what's wrong with me, right? And it's like, no. You don't need to drop your standards. You don't need to change who you are just to have the relationship. The right one will show up. And it's just really, would you rather have the right relationship or would you just rather have a relationship and give yourself away and be untrue to yourself and all that, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, my experience is that when I was searching for a relationship, there was almost like a desperation to it. And that was like, oh, this is never gonna happen. And now that I sort of put it on the side and I don't have that desperate feeling anymore, I'm more happy about relationships and the idea of them. But now I'm also willing, because I don't get it there. I mean, it's so funny, you know me, right? You know how I could obsess over a little thing for like five weeks, right? But and then I've caught myself lately. No, this particular person that I talked about, there were some things there where I almost took it personally and obsessed about it. And I was like, yeah, I can't afford going there right now. I'm happy. I am literally in my happy spot. And if I allow myself to go there, I'll be unhappy. I refuse to be unhappy. And so I left it. And the funny part is that without forcing anything, without panicking, hey, it's been a year. We're still talking.
I think that's great. You know what? I love that you just said that. Not forcing or panicking and doing something or saying something stupid or running
Yeah.
away. You know, I have the tendency of getting what I want, and then I'm like, oh, okay, I don't need it anymore. You know,
Yeah.
and I know that about myself. And so I will also say this for anybody who isn't in a relationship and you say, I'm ready and I'm just waiting and all that, good for you. It's courageous to get in a relationship because
It
guess
really
what?
is courageous.
When you're single, all you have to argue with is yourself. All you have to please is
Oh
yourself. All
my
you
God. But you know
have
what? I'm always right.
to, right? Exactly. But you get into a relationship with somebody, now it's like, okay, the mirror just got held up.
Well, because now there's somebody to challenge you on your shit if you have any. And
That's right.
but also something that's really interesting that I found, the longer I'm single, the harder it is for me to think about a relationship. I'm odd. I'm really odd. I have my ways there. I like things, I sometimes want to stay up until 3 in the morning and then I go to bed, I turn on the light, and maybe I'm watching a show, or maybe I read my Kindle until 5 in the morning, or
You listen
and
to
then
the
other times I go and
same
then other
song like
time.
10 times in a row.
That sometimes happens because it's a good song. And then the other times, like I just want to go to bed at 9:30 and I wake up early and have breakfast and do what I do. That's when I'm in that kind of space where I say, oh, I'm healthy now, And then that gets boring. And so I go back to staying up till 3 in the morning and feeling unhealthy, which I really, you're not really unhealthy because you stay up till three. It's just, again, I don't know why I'm joking about this, but it sometimes clarifies things. Don't you agree that sometimes humor clarifies
Oh,
things?
for sure. For
So we
sure.
don't
That's
have
why
to.
it's important not to take life and ourselves too seriously.
Well,
'Cause,
exactly.
you
I mean,
know.
going through this with my eye, right? It was scary, and trust me, and it was painful. I mean, I broke down at the hospital at one point and cried to the doctor who was working on my eye. I said, I can't do it anymore. And like, it's so painful. She said, do you want to stop for today? It's just so important we keep going because we're almost at the end result. I said, I need to go home. I was in tears. I was crying. I said, I can't anymore. And but like in hindsight, I can be grateful that I was in Toronto when it happened. In hindsight, I can't stop laughing over the fact that I happened to become friends with this guy who just went through the same, and then he got me, he pretty much got me there. And at the same time, I'm also, I find myself really funny in the sense that, oh, well, whatever, I can't see anything, that's fine, we'll go whenever, you know, and we'll fix it then, you know, like, I don't know, it's such a weird trust in the universe sometimes, it's so odd, and it's almost like I'm being kicked, no, you go now, okay? And then at the same time, you know, I couldn't stop laughing when I said, well, you know, the doctors looked at it, and they say it looks good, you know, that I can hear the whole joke in it, right? I can't stop laughing.
Yep. I know.
I know. I got my blue eyes back. I don't have my vampire eyes any longer. A demon eye.
I'm happy for that for you as well.
Jesus, it was so red. Oh my God.
I remember seeing it. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I did not know an eye could take such a beating.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing though how resilient we are too. I think, you know, I'm trying to relate it back to a remembrance for all of us that even though this Mercury retrograde time, life itself, I mean, it's not just now, it's, you know, the last few years, everybody's like, I thought this year was going to be better. I'm like, it's relative. I mean, we're going to get tumbled about. This is, I think that's the thing, is that coming back to that sense of humor, if we can realize that some days are good and some days are shitty, and there's no way around it. You just have to go through it, you know, and not take it so seriously of like, oh my God, this is how it's always going to be. No, it'll change. We're resilient. Just like your body is so powerful for healing. You had to get help, obviously, with your eye, but, you know, it is recovering, and maybe it's not the way it was before, but I can't wait to see how this new vision for yourself may actually turn into something powerful. You know?
It could be. It's so funny. I was talking to Nesta, Jamie knows my good friend Nesta in Barcelona. And we talked the other day, and he wanted to hear about my eyes. That, oh my God, you're like a vampire. You just bounce back. You always come back. And he said, seriously. Like, what are you talking about? I said, it doesn't matter what you're being put through. You can fall in a hole. You can almost drown. You can bang your head against an air conditioner. And I mean, God knows what other health issues I've had. He says, you always bounce back.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But then I was like, let's not jinx it, okay?
Well, I just think it's a beautiful testimony of how resilient.
I am grateful. Yeah. I really am grateful. And I think that if we tie that into this particular period with the, because I love Mercury retrograde, I got to tell you, because first of all, it's a short retrograde. It comes three times a year and it gives you the opportunity to slow down for 3 weeks. It's almost like you're being given a vacation from the universe or from God. Yeah, seriously, because that's what it's all about, slowing down.
I love that you said that. You're absolutely right. This is slowing down. And instead of fighting it, that's where we get into our issues. We start pushing against it. You know, I said to you before the show, I was like, okay, a topic that's up right now is surrender.
You said patience. I was like,
I did say patience.
Great. Yeah. My favorite word.
Well, patience and surrender go hand in hand. You
yeah,
know?
It does actually.
And what you're talking about slowing down and taking time out and enjoying the slowness of things, that actually takes away some of that forcefulness of oh God, I have to be patient. I want what I want and I want it now. I guarantee you will be given the opportunity to deal with whatever it is you want so much of. And if you don't force it, when that opportunity shows up, you'll be in a place where you're open, receptive, curious, able to keep your sense of humor, you know, all of that. But if we're forcing it, I know for a fact, when I get tunnel vision, I get so attached to a particular agenda item, you know, like I want this and I want it now. And why can't I have, I am a total, I'm going to say it, I can be a bitch.
No. No.
And I lose perspective.
I gotta tell everyone, it's very rare I've seen Jamie like that. But I have seen it, and trust me, you want to be as far away from her as you possibly can. This is the most gentle woman on the planet. And she loves everybody, even when she should actually not. But, oh no, I love them. You know, but when you catch her on that side, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to be way away.
I don't think I've ever turned that on to you.
No, not me. Okay. I don't think I've ever seen that from you. No, not you and I.
Very, very rarely. I mean, I will say that there's a reason if it comes out. I mean, I
Well,
live in a
we usually
snowball
build a
winter.
snowman, right?
Yes, we do. I love that. If anybody doesn't know this story, it was several years ago, but Oliver and I were, he was with me in Richmond, Virginia. Thank God I'm not there anymore. Sorry, anybody listening from Richmond. He was visiting, and we just were, it was probably Mercury retrograde. Ha ha ha. No, I'm just kidding. We just had a misunderstanding, and I don't even know what it was about. And oh, I do remember now. Anyways, doesn't matter. And so the next day, and this was right after Frozen had come out, and they, Elsa and what was her sister's name?
Ilsa and Anna.
Anna, thank you. And Anna wanted Elsa to come and play and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so the whole song that came out was, Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Because she was like, Come on, let's find something together that we can do.
Do you
And
want to build a snowman? It
I
doesn't have to
love.
be a snowman. Goodbye.
And she just wanted to connect with her sister. And so
Yeah.
that's what Oliver wanted. He said, I think we need to build a snowman.
No, because Jamie and I, we had a disagreement, not a fight. We had a
No, it
disagreement,
was
and
just,
we
yeah.
looked at it, and I looked at her. I looked at Jamie, and I said, "Why don't we build a snowman?" Jamie's like, "What?" I said, "Let's build a snowman." So that was the new thing. If we ever have a disagreement, Jamie will look at me and say, "Is it time for a? Is it time now? Should we build a snowman?" I was like, "Nah, I'm fine. Let's build a sandcastle instead." But going back to the whole Mercury slowing down, right? Because you were just talking about the Google Docs and sending that off and Mercury's retrograde and all that. And but we have gotten so dependent on social media, on electronics and transportation and all that, that for the most part, we never stop up. It's go, like Duracell Bonnie, right? And we gotta get that email out, I gotta get that newsletter out, I gotta write that, I gotta answer that text. And suddenly these things happen where they kind of fall apart. And it's like, oh, maybe I should just go and make a cup of coffee and sit on the balcony and enjoy the good weather.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, damn, it's Mercury retrograde. The coffee machine went down too.
So you keep your sense of humor. You're like, hey, maybe I'll take a little walk to my favorite coffee shop.
Yeah, and they had to close. They were not open because the subway was down.
Oh, okay.
I'm just totally taking it way out. I'm spinning this one, but it's true. You get an opportunity to see things differently, right? Which I still think is fascinating. When I travel, I always travel during a Mercury retrograde, and I always end up coming. I always end there on time. I'm always on time. There is really no delays. It's As soon as Mercury retrograde is done, then maybe you get stuck in Richmond and you go to the airport three times and you can't get home.
Right.
To the
There's
point where to the point where your friend's ex-husband now
that.
thinks that it's planned.
You thought it was a conspiracy. But we
Yeah.
kept our sense of humor. We kept going back to our favorite little spot, and Paula and you and I would hang out and.
It was winter, and Jamie did not like Richmond in the winter at all. So she was like, "I am so happy you can't go home."
I actually, so I'll let people know I suffer from seasonal depression. That's one of the reasons I love Reno so much, is because we get 256 days of sunshine, even in the winter when it's snowing.
See, that's why I love Puerto Vallarta.
So,
The
because,
snow.
if it's gray and cloudy for too many days in a row, I feel gray and cloudy, and that's not usually a good place for me to be.
No, of
So,
course not. No. It's so interesting how the weather can have such an incredible impact on us, right?
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, you think again, as above, so below, as within, so without, and it's very reflective. And, some people thrive in that kind of thing. I know me, and I know I don't. And I think that also goes back to where we're truly happy. There was Netflix, and it was based off the book Blue Zone, and it was the Zones of Happiness. And this author did a research on what all these different cultures, the happiest people in the world, happiest cultures, all that. And environment plays a huge impact on your happiness.
That's amazing, yeah. I do have to say that, when I've now been in Puerto Vallarta 2 years, and it sounds really obnoxious, but after 6 months or 7 months of pure sunshine and beautiful weather, it's kind of refreshing when the rain comes.
Yeah, I love rain. I love to sleep when it's raining.
Yeah.
So that does not bother, but you and I have talked about this before too, and I know it's sort of a joke, but when I first moved to Reno, I remember you and I were talking. I was like, "Oh my God, it's snowing. And I'm so happy. It's so beautiful." And you're like, "Where did my sister go?" Because
That was
it's
kind of
like,
weird in a way because I was like, are you saying you like snow? But
Well,
it
now
is
I
beautiful
love
out there. It is beautiful out there. I mean,
But now I love
but
it because
see,
I'm skiing.
but it also depends on where you see the snow, right? I
Well,
mean,
true. Sure.
Toronto, when the snow comes down, is beautiful, but it takes exactly half a day and it's nothing but black slush.
I know. I know.
You know?
Yeah, I
And so when
mean,
you, I don't know.
I will say though, it is one of these days when you get your butt out here, I'll show you. But it is so beautiful, even in the wintertime, to be able to drive up the mountain and even see Lake Tahoe, which is the most beautiful place in the world, in my opinion. And you see the lake, and then it's just the contrast between winter and summer. I mean, what's crazy is I was skiing in June, or sorry, May. And
Oh,
here we are,
wow.
August. I know.
Really?
Yeah. Now there's no snow, but I was still skiing in May. I would have skied till June, but I had mystery school, so I
By the
didn't.
way, I can't wait to ski again. It's been a while. It's been a long time. It was last time I was in Austria, and but I do still believe I remember how to. I was pretty good back then.
Well, you're going to get back on the baby slopes with me here, and then we're going to get you acclimated, and then we'll be off to our diamond runs after that.
Yeah, we call them the Black Slopes in Austria.
Yeah.
And then we
Yeah.
have the small bumps. You know, what do you call them again?
I call them baby slopes.
Maybe, oh, well, no, the bumps in the snow.
Oh, the
What's it called in English?
moguls.
Yeah. And those are really hard to ski
I won't
over.
touch those. After my ACL surgery, I'm done. My knees do
It,
not.
the very first time I went skiing, the very last day, I did all of it. Even those. The only thing I didn't do deep snow, but I did those moles, molehills or whatever they are, and
Mogul.
I did the black slopes, what you call the
Yeah.
diamond, right?
Yeah.
So that was after 5 days in ski school, and then the last day I went crazy with my partner at the time,
Yeah.
and just kind of so yeah. But then again, I was just thrown into it.
I know. Hey, you are brave. Speaking of being thrown into it and brave, guess what? Our show's done. We're at the end.
Well, let's be brave and carry this show out with grace. Just
I
kidding,
was saying you're brave to join me today because I had nothing planned. And thank you for just being here and playing with me. And
Oh, totally.
hopefully everybody listening gained something that they can use and be encouraged by. And of course, you can find Oliver and I at One to Listen. We're going to be there to offer readings. We got chatty, so there were no readings today, but we do have two cards, the Five of Swords and the Sun, to meditate on this week. Anything else for you, my darling, before we.
Well, right now I'm running. They're actually repeats, but I realized I'd done so many shows in the past on the law of attraction and manifestation that during the summer months here, I turned it into a series, and you are actually coming up next very soon.
Yay.
So I turned it into a series to learn more about manifestation, because if you listen to all the shows in one run, like through over the summer, it starts making more sense. And then I'm coming back in September with new guests, and I call it a new season of Oliver.
I love it.
And then, of course, I'm over at One to Listen. And right now, I'm not doing a whole lot because I'm rebranding myself.
Okay, I love it. This is a perfect time for that.
And it won't come out until the new year anyway. Because
Love it.
I want Pluto off my son.
This is, yeah, it's time.
That's
All
all.
right, you guys. Thank you, Oliver, again for playing. Thanks,
You're welcome,
everybody, for
sweetheart. I love you.
listening. Jay, for producing. I love you, Oliver. I love you all. Come find us at One to Listen, and we'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody.